Welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm John Rensenhouse, and I'll be your host this week for another episode of our new talk and game show that is sweeping the nation. Oh my God, did you just say that? Yeah, it's time for more happy talk, huh?
Happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to do. You've got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true?
Miss Evelyn Tewksbury, ladies and gentlemen, our resident chanteuse, telling us, as always, you've got to have a dream. And if you don't have a dream, how are you gonna have a dream come true? Those are beautiful words and such beautiful singing. Now, speaking of dreams, I have a couple of guests today who have had those dreams and made those dreams come true. Both of our guests today have founded their own theater companies and are major leaders of the Kansas City theatrical community. And we have with us here today in the tambourine corner, we have the legend that is the big daddy and big mama of late night theater, Mr. Ron McGee. And in our horn corner, there's the horn. We have the man who has done it all. He acts, he directs, he teaches. He has managed the opening of franchise restaurants around the country, and he is the founding father of the Black Repertory Theater of Kansas City, Mr. Damron Armstrong. Oh, my God. It is so good to have you both here with us. What a treat. Now, okay. The show is called, Oh My God, Did You Just Say That? So let me fill you in on the ground rules here. This is primarily a game show, and your goal here is to score points, of course, valuable points. And the big mother load of points, three of them, in fact, will come to you if you make me say, Oh My God, Did You Just Say That? Yep, that's the name of the show, and that's why we named it that way. Okay. We'll chat a bit, play a game I designed especially for you guys, and you can score points anywhere along the way, not only in the game, but anywhere along the way. And are you ready? It's Oh My God, Did You Just Say That? So now, Damron, welcome.
Yes.
The Black Rep, bravo. How long has the Black Rep been going?
if this should air.
It is still going, is it not?
This fall, October will be our sixth season. Six whole very long years.
Oh, my God. Did you just say that? Oh, my God. You made me. I just said that. You just got 3 points, Damron.
So fast.
It happens so quickly. It really does. No, I was trying to think. Is that when your baby teeth fall out and your real teeth come in about 6 years old?
I think so.
Okay. Is that when you get the itch?
No, that's seven.
Oh, okay, so you're not itching yet.
Not yet. So, I think I have some ointment that'll clear that right
yeah,
up.
I think so, too.
What inspired you to start the Black Rep, Damron?
Well, it really was taking a look at the media and seeing what was out there that actually looked at the contributions made by African-Americans. So much of what we got... certainly at the time that I came up with the epiphany to come back to KC and start this was the death of Trayvon Martin and how the media sort of turned it into be wary of young men in hoodies as opposed to the senseless death of this child. And so it got me thinking what sort of contributions could he have made towards society had he lived? And if there was any sort of theater that took a look at the contributions that are made by African Americans. And at the time, there was none. So I gave up my my quest for Broadway.
Yeah, what did you give up? You were living in New York at the time.
Oh, yeah. And I had previously done an off-Broadway production of Children of Eden that was then slated to go to Lincoln Center. Was the hope. And then a little teeny tiny show opened on Broadway, which you may or may not have heard of, The Lion King.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of
that. Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
I think I've heard of that one before.
It's about Hamlet.
Yeah. Spamalot. that had some of the same sort of design elements and after seeing their auspicious opening, they decided they would probably go a different route with our show. I worked a lot and worked internationally because I lived in New York City and was there for, you know, the audition calls and all of that. But to get back to this, I mean, it just became something that I thought was important. I figured I was a man of a certain age and could be away from New York for a couple of years and then come back and find my niche again.
Yeah, because you're from Kansas City originally.
Oh, yes.
Well, that is wonderful and a wonderful thing you've given. You've given such a gift to Kansas City. Thank you.
Really have.
So much, my God. Now, when you were first starting the thing, you were having to work other jobs to make ends meet, or did you begin paying yourself the six-digit salary? Artistic directors are accustomed
to. God, did you just say that?
Oh, I just got 3 points. All right.
Well, I think as performers, we're all hustlers at heart. When I came back, a friend of mine from school, Amanda Sumter, was a GM for Spin Pizza in town. And she's like, while you're putting this company together, if you want a little wait job, you can come in and do that. And that instantly became me becoming the corporate trainer for restaurants in town. And then I opened Warrensburg and Lawrence and San Francisco. So we were a little all over the place.
Warrensburg, San Francisco. Like, I was just like, oh my God, well, that's really big. I mean, that's like really branching out.
Right.
St. Joe, Hannibal. St. Joe.
Yes, I was like,
LA. Dameron, leave it to you to take a little weight gig and turn it into the nationwide corporate trainer. That is impressive. Now, to celebrate you as a founding father of this wonderful institution, Dameron, and to celebrate you, Ron, as the founding father / mother of late night theater, I have asked our beloved Miss Evelyn Tewksbury, who we heard at the top of the show, to sing us her most favorite patriotic song. And this, my friends, is what she has blessed us with.
That was that.
I'm crying and I'm...
My face is red. My blood is blue. Raw America.
Smooth.
Yes.
Smooth like spoiled butter. Lover.
Speaking of spoiled butter, Ron, let's talk about late night theater.
We just like spoiled butter. I love that. Tambourine time.
Late night theater is one of the finest institutions in Kansas City and easily the most notorious. How did it get started? I want to tell you, I remember I moved back to Kansas City in 97, and right away I saw one of your first shows, I think. It was The Birds, and I was totally blown away. It was absolutely brilliant, but I'm not familiar with kind of the origin story of late night theater. So how did this mass of bent creativity happen?
Well, it's so funny because Dameron's here, but he's been on this whole journey. We were doing shows in people's lofts, like Lou Jane Temple's loft, Nasty Sally Searsucker, and we were doing other shows, and then Quality Hill Playhouse, which I can't remember what it was called at the time, and Jim, was it Jim who ran it?
Yes. Story.
Jim Story had that, and we did a late night series, and that's where we did Valley of the Dolls with you as Dionne Warwick, and we did Voodoo Annie with you, and we did so many shows, and from that we were like, well, we could probably have our own little theater company. And we ended up in the Westport Coffee House to do The Birds. And we had to go after Beth Bird's mime show. So we could only start at 11 or 1. And so it was like, well, this is going to be late night theater. And we're like, well, there's the name. And, you know, a couple drinks, get high. And then we're like, okay, let's do it. And then let's cast some people. And then we did The Birds. And that's how it started.
So The Birds was the very first show.
It really was. Oh, you saw the very first late night theater show.
Oh my, but now wait a minute. I am going to give you 3 points because, oh my God, did you make Dameron Armstrong be
Dionne Warwick? Dionne Warwick.
He was Dionne Warwick.
Yeah.
Originated the whole role. Yeah. He was his idea of just an African-American singer woman looking at how disgusting three white women going down a pill mountain is all about. And then he came with this idea that Dionne got drunker and drunker as the show went along, just like making side comments about us that we don't hear really, except when she came into a scene to do a big Dionne Warwick number and then come out. And dear God, there is a scene I'll never forget where I didn't realize he was going to fall behind the sofa and then crawl up to say a line, and he did it on opening night, and it scared the shit out of me besides that. Because I thought, oh, did we drink too much before the show? But no, he was acting, and he popped up and said his line, and well, you know me, I'm not good on stage, so I lost my I laid down in shag carpet and lost my
My favorite thing was my mother and my aunt came to see the show, and I didn't tell them anything about it. And so the show opens, tight spot on me. I'm crossing, doing the theme song to the show. And it wasn't until I started to sing that I heard my mother, because they had Quality Hill Playhouse, audience right is on stage with you. Oh, my baby's got some skinny legs.
Oh,
and then on with the show. We went.
Yeah.
My baby got some skinny legs.
And how did that make you feel, Dan?
Great. Supported. I was ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. Who doesn't want to be it announced to the world, I got skinny legs? Now, hearkening back to the birds, if I remember correctly, you had on like poles,
yes,
sort of birds dangling.
Right.
From the pole, which and tying all everything together, getting back to the Lion King. You know, the Lion King had that very simple device at the beginning of Act Two. They have birds on poles,
right,
that they're waving around.
Over the audience.
Yeah,
yes.
Over the audience. They're waving them around. Now, did you have anything happen with the – did anyone ever get hit?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that go over?
It went horrible. It was a Hallmark employee.
Oh,
and
no.
And I really remember it well. And the bird, the plastic seagull, hit his eye and wedged his contact up over his eyeball. And then he tried to sit there. We saw him sitting there with one hand over his eye until he finally out loud during the scene goes, "It's hurting too bad. I need help."
No.
And of course, that just take us down. We're awful. I think we got him help. I can't remember. He doesn't own the theater now, so I don't think he sued us. Unless he does, and I don't know, and I've not been giving him the $2.15 that I owe him.
Six-figure salary.
My six-figure salary.
Right, six-figure salary.
Well, I just want the audience to know I am wearing my mink today, even though the temperature's a little warm, but I wanted to show my wealth as an artistic director.
And you look smashing in it, I must say.
Right here in the studio. He's just sweaty.
Nothing now, underneath.
Now, Ron, I think it's time for another little Miss Tewksbury song, but would you mind dancing around in the studio while Miss Tewksbury sings?
I love her. I'm going to do my interpretation.
All right. Well, let's hear from Miss Tewksbury again. She has, you know, we all have, as actors, many identities and many faces. And Miss Tewksbury's got one that she wants to tell you all about it, okay? Uh-huh. Hit it.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. A Yankee Doodle do I darn. A real-life niece of my Uncle Sam. Born on the 4th of July.
My God. Oh, indeed. Stick a feather in your cap and call it what?
Macaroni. You know what's so interesting is I danced like Liberace in the 70s when he wore those hot pants, that red, white, and blue patriotic outfit. That's how I'm dancing to her. It made me that gay happy. And that's a lot of happy.
That's a lot.
Yes, what you happy. Listeners at home didn't see, that underneath Ron's mink coat, he does have the red, white, and blue sequined hot pants that he is wearing because he is very patriotic as well. He's a founding father, so is Damron Armstrong. And it is time now to get to the games. All right.
Excited.
The score, as we begin, is 3-3, just so you know. Oh. So we've got a good game going.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've got some multiple choice trivia questions for you. And because you're both founding fathers of the Kansas City stage, all the questions are going to be about the founding fathers of our fine nation.
Oh,
the
I love
U.S.
that.
Presidents.
Oh, that's so good.
I know. You know, now recently President's Day may have gotten canceled, but we're going to keep the boys alive right here and right now. It's going to be POTUS, baby, POTUS. So, Damron, if you think you know the answer, you just honk your horn to chime in.
Okay.
Let's hear it, the horn. Yep. Okay. And Ron, you're going to shake your tambourine. Okay. You guys have got it.
I get the whole thing now.
Yeah. We don't have the buzzers that more expensive shows.
I was looking for it. I actually I put my tambourine down. I was like, where's the buzzer?
Yeah. No, there's no buzzer. The tambourine is your buzzer.
Okay.
Now, each correct answer scores a point. And as I said, it's 3-3. Okay. Here's your first question. Are you ready? You just chime in if you think you know the answer. Which president worked as a model for Cosmopolitan magazine in the 1940s. It's multiple choice. Was it John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, or Gerald R. Ford? Ron?
I think it is Ronald Reagan.
Wah, wah, wah. That is wrong. Ron, damn, Ron, would you like a chance to steal?
Yes. Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford is correct.
Oh, really?
Gerald Ford is correct, if you can believe that.
Was he attractive?
He was very attractive. I want you to Google this. Google Cosmo covers Gerald Ford. The April 1942 issue featured him in his Navy uniform kissing his then-girlfriend. It's really quite steamy. I looked it up. And he was
Betty quite... Ford? He's kissing Betty Ford?
No, his girlfriend. But curiously, right after that, he met Betty. Her name was Elizabeth Bloomer, and they eventually got married. But Google it. Gerry Ford, Cosmopolitan.
I'm going to so do
cover.
That. Well, that's a good little piece of trivia.
Isn't it? And he was a handsome guy. You know, dumb as rocks, but very handsome.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Well, oh, I loved it.
No wonder she took pills and had to start a clinic. Because when you date a model, they are fickle. Poor Betty Ford. Oh,
exactly. It's all making sense now, isn't it?
It really is. It's all the whole picture's now been painted.
All right. Next question. Here we go. Which president reputedly got stuck in a bathtub and could not get out? Was it A, William Howard Taft, B, Grover Cleveland, or C, Donald Trump? Ron, in there with the tambourine again.
I think it's Taft.
You are correct. It's William Howard Taft. Now, what made you think that?
Because I was thinking of one of presidents that were maybe more...
rotund.
Yes, more Rubenesque. And he comes to mind.
Yes.
Well, he should, because he was our heaviest president at 350 pounds.
Wow.
And now, this story, I did a little research on it, and it's kind of not true, because he actually had a custom bathtub made for the White House, which was 7 feet long, 41 inches wide, and weighed an actual ton. And there's a picture of four men actually sitting in this bathtub. So he did not get stuck in the bathtub. But
were
the four men with him?
Oh, dear. There's a new scandal.
Oh, my.
Yes. William
Howard
Taft.
Now that's the musical about a president I want to see.
No kidding.
Taft
in the bathtub with three other guys. This is getting good. Okay, well, Ron got a point there, so it's now 4-4. We're neck and necking here.
Oh, this is so crazy.
I know. Okay, our next question is, which president banned alcohol from the White House at the behest of the First Lady? Was it A, Millard Fillmore, B, Rutherford B. Hayes, or C, Gerald Ford? Was that a honk? All right, Damron.
Mr. B. Hayes.
That is correct. That is correct.
That's so good.
This was in 1877. His wife, a woman named Lucy, was a lifelong member of the Temperance Society and did not want alcohol served in the White House, and she got the nickname thereby of Lemonade Lucy. Lemonade Lucy Hayes. Oh. That would be a good character for you.
Yeah, it would really be great. I think
Lemonade Lucy Hayes. Yeah, that, I tried to trick you on that one because it's not Gerald Ford. Betty was drinking plenty, I think, when she was sitting away.
Is that the first lady that was real gaunt? Real
Lemonade Lucy?
Yeah.
She didn't look particularly gaunt. I think she ate plenty, but she just didn't drink.
I saw the first lady's gowns, you know, the big exhibit, you know, and I can't remember what her gown. Maybe it was real dinky, little tiny.
Oh, maybe.
A lot of those first ladies are just petite little things.
Well,
you know,
people
what I mean?
Were like, smaller like, back then.
Well, that's true.
They were on the keto diet.
They were on the keto diet.
One of us three is currently on the keto diet, and I'll just leave it to you listeners to kind of imagine who it is. Maybe it'll come out later. Okay, Dameron, you got that one right. All right.
So good, Dameron.
Oh, he's so good.
I don't know where
Okay, the next question. Which president had the extremely good taste to hire Louis C. Tiffany to design a major renovation of the White House? Was it A, Chester A. Arthur? B, Benjamin Harrison, or C, Theodore Roosevelt?
Oh, this is hard.
Tiffany.
I mean,
right?
All three of them are around that time period.
Yeah.
And he's still alive, so, I mean, Tiffany was alive.
Well, this
time.
Was in 1882, just to...
Oh, okay.
What about Chester?
Chester A. Arthur is correct.
Yeah, that was good.
Did you put that together? That was the year that Chester A. Arthur was in the presidency? 1882? No. I was going to go, wow, you are a savant. No, it was right after James Garfield got assassinated. Chester was his vice president. Chester was sworn in, and he wanted things spruced up before he moved in. Now, usually, of course, the first lady kind of oversees such things. But Chester was a widower and clearly had a strong interest in decorating. I'm just saying, okay?
So his name is Chester.
Chester. All right. Okay.
My house was built in 1884.
Was it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it really is. Isn't that crazy?
Did Tiffany design it?
No. No, there's no Tiffany.
There's no Tiffany.
No, not even a knockoff
wow.
Tiffany.
That is a grand old lady, though, 1884.
It really is.
Wow.
I know, it's great.
I can't even do the math to figure out how old it is.
I really can't write this minute either. John wants to have a celebration. I can't remember what he said.
Anyway, those of you at home can phone in and tell us about the math on that. All right, next question.
Whatever happened All right. to baby Jane is what's going to happen in that house.
Okay. Which president was a classically trained pianist and played four other instruments, as a matter of fact? Was it A, Calvin Coolidge? Was it B, Richard M. Nixon? Or was it C, Bill Clinton?
Oh. When is it going to be like a Hamilton question? I really feel that you'd think
Hamilton was never president.
There's a musical. God, I feel you. I don't think you did your research. No, there's a musical called Hamilton.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God! Did you just say that? Oh, Ron. Ron, I'm just going to have to tack on three extra points.
Yeah.
Okay, but Dameron, you can answer the question maybe. Which president was a classically trained pianist?
The first one.
Calvin Coolidge?
Yeah.
You are wrong. Ron, would you like to try and steal the other two choices? Are Richard M. Nixon or Bill Clinton?
Well, I want to say it's Clinton because he played the sax on Arsenio Hall.
Right.
Remember that? Wasn't that a great moment?
Yeah, I love it.
I was like, Bill Clinton on the sax. Remember Animaniacs? They had that in the front.
Yeah.
And they were like, Animaniacs, Bill Clinton on the sax. But that's beside the point. I'm going to run with, but I better just say Nixon.
Nixon is correct. Okay. Played the piano. He actually performed like Bill Clinton on the Arsenio show. He performed on the Jack Parr program in 1962 after he had lost the California governor's race. He played a whole song. He also played the violin, the clarinet, the saxophone, and the accordion.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
And he got impeached. Or no, did he leave office before getting impeached?
I think he did.
Well,
he,
I think both.
Yes, he did
both.
All of it.
Yeah, he did a lot, that Tricky Dick. Okay, next question. Which president met his wife in the fifth grade, but they didn't get married until they were both in their mid-30s? Was it A, Jimmy Carter, B, Harry S. Truman, or C, Dwight D. Eisenhower? Met his wife in the fifth grade, but they didn't get married until the mid-30s. Let's see, was it Rosalind, Bess, or who was Dwight's wife's name?
Mamie.
Mamie, of course, Mamie.
Well, that's a... I'm trying to think of... God, I wish I'd gone to the opening of the new Truman Library.
Truman is right!
Oh, God.
Truman is right. Yes. Oh, Bess Wallace lived across the street and they knew each other growing up, but Bess's mom didn't approve of Harry. She thought he'd never be anything more than a farmer.
Oh. Mm.
So Harry S. Truman, that was our little local question there. Now we've got one more question. Which president was the first to have a rescue dog while in office? Was it A, George W. Bush, B, Barack Obama, or C, Joe Biden? Oh, I heard a horn, I think. Yes, Dameron.
Barack.
No, incorrect.
Biden?
Biden is correct. Yes, the Bidens have two German Shepherds, Champ and Major, and Major was acquired from the Delaware Humane Society to keep the aging Champ company. The Humane Society conducted an inauguration as Major made his move from wags to riches.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We're going to be here all day,
Champ,
ladies and gentlemen.
Champ just died. Champ just died. So he didn't do his job. I just went.
Did Champ
be...
just die?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And Dr. Biden put it on our Instagram page, and I've been so sad. It's a beautiful post, but that means that dog didn't do its job. It was supposed to keep companion.
Oh, well...
Instead of bite security guard.
Oh. I'm a Yankee.
Oh, well, Andy, Yankee Doodle, do or die. Okay.
Andrew, oh, Bloody, Andrew Bloody Jackson, there's another musical.
Oh, well, he was president.
Hello. I'm just telling you president ones.
Yeah. That's good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of our
game. Sit down. Sit down.
I'll sit down soon. The final score appears to be Ron 9 and Dameron 6. Ron McGee, you are the winner of today's episode of Oh My God, Did You Just Say That?
Oh, everybody, I just dropped my fur off my shoulders and I'm running around the room crazed. Look at my titties.
Okay, before things get too out of control, I'm going to say farewell and thank you so much to Ron McGee and Dameron Armstrong. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, John.
Love you both.
And may your very your respective theaters prosper and your salaries soar. And I also want to thank Mary Robinson, our
thanks,
sound
Mary.
Engineer.
Thanks, Mary.
And I got to thank Thomas Newby from last time, because I forgot to thank him, but he was our engineer on the last one. And as we bid farewell, Miss Tewksbury wants to remind us, in the spirit of the Founding Fathers, that there are always new beginnings around the corner. One door closes and another one opens. I'm John Rensenhouse for Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. And until next time, stay healthy and stay tuned.
Only just begun to live. Wine lays in promises, a kiss for luck and worn away before the rising sun. Start out walking.